Good evening, everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
All right, good. Amen. All right, so tonight, the title of this message tonight is Storms. And every storm has a couple of ingredients that make it good or bad, depending on what side of the storm you're on. But there's storms that happen because of nature, because of the forces of cold fronts and warm fronts and clouds and all that. There are storms that happen in our lives because of circumstances that we face. And then there are storms that, unfortunately, we sometimes cause. And I will tell you that I've been a victim of all three. So tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach a message to you in regards to storms that can happen in our lives. And, you know, it's something that the Lord kind of just brought it out with some of the songs we sang as we worshiped the Lord. And yet also it's because I've been through storms. And you are either in a storm, you're either coming out of a storm, or you're in the middle of a storm. But storms are a part of our lives. So tonight, if you can exercise your fingers with me real quick, and let's get into the gospel according to Mark chapter 4. That'll be in the New Testament after the book of Matthew. I wasn't going to make up another book, but Matthew is truly the first book of the New Testament. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, please. And in Mark chapter 4, if you can direct your eyes and your fingers to verse 35, and we'll read from verse 35 to the end of the chapter, verse 41. And the Bible says, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them," listen to what Jesus said, "let us pass over unto the other side." I'm going to repeat it because this is really important. "Let us pass over unto the other side." Verse 36, "And when they had set away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." This wasn't no ordinary windstorm. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Verse 41, the disciples said, "What manner of man," which is also important, "is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Mark chapter 4, for those of you that are just starting to read your Bible and for the first time you haven't been to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, he is, since verse 1 of chapter 4, he is teaching. He is in a boat right off of the shore, and he's teaching to the multitude, giving them parables. Parables are what I call earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And so he's teaching them, and towards the end, because it was at even, so towards the end of the day, he's coming, and now he's telling his disciples, "We're going to go to the other side, because there's still more work to do. So we're going to go to the other side." And they, you know, disperse the multitude. And obviously, they're probably part of my family because they didn't listen anyway, because the Bible says there were other little ships that followed Jesus. And then we see that Jesus is in the boat, and he's in the hinder part, the stern, the back part. The only reason why I know that is because I had to look it up. And so he's in the hinder part, in the stern of the boat, and he falls asleep on a cushion. As he falls asleep, as the scriptures tell us, there's this big wind, and this wind is now infuriating the water, and it's agitating the water, and the Bible says that the boat was now full of water. And these disciples of Jesus, who I'm going to give you a little more, you know, it's free of charge, But the disciples that Jesus had, most of them were fishermen. So they were people of boats and of water, free of charge. I'm not going to charge you for that little bit of information. And yet the Bible says that as they're going through this situation, all of a sudden they had no more remedy in their lives. And they wake up Jesus and say, the Bible, according to Adam, don't you care we're going to die? Don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind. And he says, peace be still. And everything was calm. We all know the story. But what this story is really trying to tell us, which is what he has tried to tell me time after time, is that storms in our lives cause distress. When you really think about it, storms in our lives really cause us distress. There are storms that have happened in my life, and I'll tell you, when it rains, it pours. So I don't really get it all that easy. When it rains, it pours. And those storms, though we're supposed to trust in God, many times I fret. Many times I worry. There are many nights that I don't sleep. My mind is racing. How am I going to fix this? There are so many things that happen when my life is experiencing a storm. So I know what these disciples felt like because I have acted just like these disciples do. And we look at the scriptures. Jesus says in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. So he's giving a command that we are going to pass over into the other side. But how many times during the storms that we face in our lives do we feel like we are not going to pass over onto the other side? You know why? Because so many times we're putting our focus on what's in front of us and not who is in with us. And when we put our focus in what's in front of us, the circumstances of life, the situations that can happen, and there are a variety of things. I remember when I was, and I was at one time like 12, 11 years old, 13. There was a time when I was that age. And I remember one year, one day I wake up and all of a sudden I'm more self-aware of how I look. All the things that teenagers go through, I went through those. And I was messed up in the head for a little while. Then I became a young adult. And I'm worried about, I have my own place. What happens if I can't pay the bills? What happens if I get fired? You know, storms are always around me. There's always, for some reason, storms everywhere I go. And so, you know, you go through all these things in your life and these experiences. And to someone who was older than me, some of the things that I was going through was nonsense to them. But it was real to me. Just like these men who were men of the sea, they were fishermen. The waters and these disciples were on a first name basis, and yet this was such a powerful, impacting storm in their lives that they did not know what to do. And so many times in our lives, the storms rage and the water's beating, and it feels like in our lives and our ships are full of water, we don't know what to do. And we do not, many times, and I say this starting with the guy here you're watching, many times I do not pay attention to the words of Christ when he says we are going to get to the other side. Storms in our lives can be, like I said, a whole different variety of situations, mental, emotional, economic, nature, nurture, all of these things. And yet God makes his promise to all of us that we are going to get to the other side. And you might ask a question, because you guys are good question askers. What is it that God is telling us we're going to get to the other side? So you see some really good questions. Well, we have promises. According to the scriptures, there is a new Jerusalem, right? There is a mansion waiting with our name on it that Christ says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Where I am, you will be. And yet, the storms of this life, we tend to forget that that's waiting for us. And we're so worried and preoccupied with what's going on in front of me. I'm so worried that I'm soaking wet and I'm upset. And if you get wet and upset, then you get cold and all these things that are going on. And you're trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? And some of us can say, well, like these disciples, they begin to probably have buckets and pails and they're trying to get it out. Now, you're in the middle of a storm and your boat's already full. You take one pail of water, you get it out of the boat, three pails of water rained over it on it anyway. So you're fighting a losing battle. And I don't know about you, but there are many times in my walk that it feels like I'm fighting a losing battle. It feels like I am drenched with no hope. I don't know about you, but when it rains and I'm under the canopy, I think if I run fast enough, I'm going to duck the raindrops and I'm going to get to my car without a drop of water. And it never works out that way. Always get wet. But there is a time when you get so wet that you don't care about running anymore. You're just wet, so I'm just going to stay wet. And you become hopeless to the fact that you're going to get to your destination dry. And in our lives, the storms rage so deep and so strong that sometimes you feel hopeless because you just, it's never ending. It feels never ending. It feels like the tunnel is right there and there is no light at the end of this tunnel. So you give up. You do not listen to God who says we are going to get to the other side, and we end up everything just raining, darkness, dreariness, all of that. I don't know if you've ever been there. And if you have, welcome to the club. But realize that the Bible has specific promises for when those storms rage in our lives. The Bible has specific promises, and they're not coming from Paul. They're not coming from Peter. They're not coming from great men of the Bible that we hold in high regard. This is coming straight from the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself. And the disciples heard the command, and they were obedient. Everything was going good until storms came, and all of a sudden they start fretting. You know, the Bible says that God does not allow temptations and struggles in our lives that we can't handle. And yet so many times we act like that doesn't exist, that that's a lie. If we're honest with each other, so many times we act like, oh, God says I can handle this, but I can't, so he must be a liar. And then all of a sudden, he says also in scripture that he makes the escape route and that door of escape, but we have cluttered our mind with such doubt and we're so drenched and bummed out that you don't even see that the door of escape is there. And many times we're stuck in this storm in our lives longer than we really have to be. And then when all else fails, and this is the part that really convicts me. Give me one moment. When all else fails, then we do just like these disciples. And we run to Jesus. Jesus, and I know nobody ever goes to Jesus in the middle of a storm that calm and collected. But we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, don't you see I'm dying? Don't you see I'm perishing? Don't you see that life is horrible? How could you let this happen to me? Do you care that I die? Because that's basically what they're saying. Because remember, they were experts of the sea. This was their backyard. They knew what to do. But a situation came across which they could not fix. And when they couldn't do it by their own means, when they couldn't get it by what they were exactly known to do and have done maybe a gazillion times, then they run to Jesus. And how many times do we do that? I've exhausted every resource that I have. I've done everything that I know I should do and I can do. And we live like so many people in the world, these Christians in the world that say, gee, God helps those who help themselves. And we try to help ourselves. And then when we can't help ourselves anymore, we go to God. When Jesus just says, trust in him. He told the disciples, don't worry about anything. I will take care of you. I think someone in the Bible, somebody in the Bible says that we have everything that we need in Christ Jesus. I think there's something in the Bible that says that he will take care of our needs. And I think there's somewhere in the Bible that kind of tells us that we shouldn't be worrying about much because he's in control. I don't know about you, but I look at this Bible and I read Genesis 1:1 and it says, in the beginning, God. Love that. In the beginning, God. And then I look at Revelation at the end of the book and I see the word, amen, it is done, let it be so. And I sit back and I think, this is a God who is telling us, how the earth became, and it's telling us how the earth is going to end. And in all this, all of these men and women through Scripture in this room and the ones that we should be reaching out to that trust in Christ wins. And when the storm happens in our lives, we act like a bunch of losers. The disciples were acting like they just lost the championship to whatever sport you think you could play. And they're walking off the field, walking off the court, walking off the grass with their heads down, kicking rocks, because everything that they thought that they could do to alleviate this storm wasn't working. And how many times I could try to throw money at it? Doesn't work. I could try to throw my other resources, my connections. Doesn't work. I can use my intellect. I can use my education. I can fix this. Doesn't work. It may appease it for a while, right? Like taking a pail of water, and in a boat full of water, you take one pail out and then three pails just add on top of that. You know, we try to appease ourselves for a while, but we realize that we are getting nowhere. Excuse me. We're getting nowhere quick. And these disciples realized that they got somewhere real quick, and that was to a place of despair, a place of looking at the storms in their lives and realizing that I have no hope. We are going to die. We're going to drown. They probably left their swimming gear on land, and that's why they were so scared. But the reality is, this was something that was going on so severe that it frightened men who were known to be of the water. And we are men and women who are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Each and every one of you here tonight that has been born again, bought at a price, redeemed, sealed, and your ticket to heaven is punched through the blood of Christ. You know who you are. In fact, the Bible, if I'm correct, there's someone who wrote in the Bible, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And yet we act like we're always conquered. Like these disciples did. Storms raise, and the raging storms really confuses us. It really brings us to a whole position, a whole place of truly blocking our eyes on who we believe in and blocking our ears from what he said. And we allow these storms to really take over our lives. I don't know about you, but I really wish that I could get this once and for all and never have to worry about it again. I'm just being honest. I wish that I got this right tonight, and from tonight on, it's all sunshine and flowers and unicorns and all of these, whatever, you know, that we think is precious and beautiful, and never worry about it again. But even with God speaking to me tonight and allow me to share what's on my heart with you, I will get this wrong again. And like the disciples, I'll run to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I can't take it anymore. Knowing full well that he's going to give me the out of it anyway. And I still run to him, Lord, I'm going to die. So they wake up Jesus. And could you imagine? Now, I'm going to tell you this. I don't believe that Jesus was passed out, sleeping, snoring, all of those things that I normally do when I'm really tired. You know, even though he's been ministering all day, I know that he was resting, but he was finally in tune with what was going on. Because I want you to know that the God that we serve has never been caught by surprise by anything that happens in our lives. No, he does not get caught off guard. I really mean that. We feel like he does, right? Because the storms happen in our lives and the situations really knock us down. And we feel like he does, like, Lord, do you not notice, like these disciples, don't you care that we're going to die, like we're going to drown? Like if he didn't know what was going on. And so many times we act faithless in the midst of storms because, again, I'm paying attention to what's happening, and I'm not paying attention to the one who can make it happen and make it stop. There's a reason why we go through storms. There's a reason why we go through trials. There's a reason why things happen. A lot of times on those situations that we, like, I've made a couple of storms in my life, my fault, the Lord is like, you knucklehead, this is what you're going to experience for doing what you shouldn't have done. That aside, we repent and come back out to our senses. But that aside, most of the storms that come from everything else other than the ones we make ourselves, it's something God wants us to learn, something God wants us to see, something God wants to us to experience. And like I said, Jesus knew what was going to happen. They're looking at this, and if you look at verse 41, they're looking, it's like, what kind of man is this? What kind of man? See how limited their vision was? They're so caught up in what's going on that they're looking at Jesus like, what kind of man is this? Dude, this is God, man. This is God, man. Like, seriously, this is 100% God and 100% man. And they were looking so much at what was going on that they left out the God part and was only looking at man. And because man can't save himself, and because man can't do nothing about his situation, they're astonished that a man can tell the wind, be still, let's settle down a little bit there, Windy. And then all of a sudden, everything is calm and at peace. And that's why they said in verse 41, what kind of man is this? And so many times when we come out of the storms, we say, wow, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this? And we got to really say, what kind of God is this? And what can I learn? So what can we learn from a situation within our storms? If we're looking at this passage in Scripture, what we can realize is, one, there is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do to get yourself out of a storm. So the first thing we got to realize is, I ain't in control. I don't got no power. I don't have a magic sword. For those of you that are older and in my age, I don't have a magic sword that I can raise up and say, by the power of Grayskull, and all of a sudden I turn into this beastly tan, you know, muscle bound guy, and I can destroy everything. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But for those that do know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean. And we can't do that because that's fake. That's fake. That's cartoons. Those are for Saturday mornings when Saturday mornings actually had cartoons for kids. You know? So we can't do it by our own power. When the storms in life happen, we also do not have enough resources to be able to get ourselves out of those storms. I can't pay my way out of those storms. I can't talk my way out of those storms. I can't wiggle my way between the raindrops to avoid all that's going on. So what do I need to learn? What do we need to learn? What did the disciples need to learn? We need to learn that when God says he's going to do something in our lives, he's going to do it. When he says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. How you react to that is your problem. How you live that out is up to you and the Lord. But if he says that we're going to the other side, we are going to the other side. And he told the disciples when they took him just as he was, and he said, we're going to the other side. How many times in our lives do we feel like we're on top of the mountain and everything is good? God is good? All the time. And all the time, God is good. And then the storms happen, God is good. But he's not there. And we pray. Praying for your child. Lord, save my child. Lord, are you there? Hello? Lord, are you there? Lord, save my wife. Save my husband. Save my parents. Help me as a parent. Help me as a teenager. Help me as a young adult understand what's going on in my life. Lord, I'm kind of lonely. I need a spouse. Are you there? Lord, I need a job. Bills, my ins don't match my outs. Lord, are you there? And you know what the Lord is? Right there. And he allows the storms to happen. Lord, I got this disease, cancer, or whatever it is that can plague a body. And we're praying, Lord, I thought if I serve you, you would take care of this. Lord, why did you take my spouse? Why do you let my child die? Lord, are you there? Lord, can you hear me? And we live in that for so long. And that storm rages in our lives. And we try by everything we can. I lost my spouse. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hang out like I'm 21 again. Or whatever it is that you do when you lose a spouse. I haven't been there yet, so, and I hope I never will. But the reality is when we're in a storm, we're trying by all our different means. And when all else fails, we run to Jesus. I'm dying. I'm losing it. I'm hanging by a string. Where are you? Where are you? And he's there. And it might sound or it might feel, it might seem, our perception, which is tainted by the storm, make us think and perceive that Jesus doesn't care. He's asleep. And these disciples are like, don't you care? In the Gospel of Luke, it says that they were in jeopardy. Not the show. They were in jeopardy as in trouble. And Luke and Matthew, on the account, he says, we're going to get to the other side of the lake. And they were so despaired and so caught up in what was going on, they run to Jesus. And instead of just, like we sing in that song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey, we're shaking them. It's like, Lord, don't you think it's time for you to wake up? I don't know that you, and we really say this, well, you guys are too saintish to say that, but you act like it. Lord, do you need my help? Can I tell you what to do right now? I know you don't say that because you guys are super saints, but the reality is we act like that. And then all of a sudden it was like, Lord, I think I got a few pointers for you on how to get me out of this storm. And Christ clearly says, we're going to the other side. So what should we do? Should we just throw our hands up and say, well, if he wants me to die, I'm going to die? That's the wrong attitude. I give up. I'm just going to stay right where I'm at. If it rains and I get wet, oh, well, I have to buy new socks and shoes so my feet don't stink. And I'm just going to keep on keeping on where I am. Is that the attitude to have? No. Is the attitude I sometimes have. And if you're, well, you're not like me because you guys are more holy than I could ever be. But sometimes when you get fleshly, that's how we act. The disciples, all they had to do is remember the promise of Christ. And in remembering the promise of Christ, they should not have rushed to Jesus to wake him up, frantically scared. Oh, I need you to wake up because the end is near. We're going to die. The Titanic is sinking. Instead of doing that, what are some of the real responses that they could have done? Or what are some of the responses you should be doing? For me, I know that I should be still and know that he is God. That's in the scriptures, just in case you didn't know. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted above the earth. So God is going to get glory. Regardless of what, if we stick our knows in business that we shouldn't when it comes to these storms, or if we just wait and trust in God, he's going to be glorified. Case in point, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. They ran and they're scared and like, Jesus, we're going to die. Jesus wakes up or gets up and he looks at what's going on. Now, I don't know how you picture Jesus because it says it's a rebuke, but I do not believe that Jesus had to yell. I do not believe that Jesus, and these are things I got to learn myself, that Jesus had to yell. He didn't have to look at these disciples, cross, you know, and give him the stink eye as he's telling this storm is going to cease. He's not he's not doing none of that. I have no indication that Jesus was incensed by what was going on. So I believe Jesus was taking a nap, resting his eyes, getting ready to minister. The disciples are acting like a bunch of little kids, grown men acting like a bunch of little kids. Sounds a lot like today. And he says to the storm, "Peace, be still." And I believe he said it just like that. Peace, be still. There's nothing more convicting when I'm losing my mind. There's nothing more convicting when I feel like the end is near, that someone comes with such peace and calm and assurance in who he is to say, "Peace, be still." Everybody's going nuts, ripping hair. If they were, I don't know, sometimes you look at Peter's bald and sometimes he has full head of hair. He might have been ripping him out at this passage, and that's why we see the two versions of Peter. I don't know, but whatever, however you imagine these things, I imagine them beside themselves. I imagine them really going crazy, and one man, and I use that term because that's how they saw him, one man stands up from a rest and says, "Peace, be still." How many times in our storms should we really think and consider that in our storms we should be confident that there is someone who's going to stand in the middle of the storm and say, "Peace, be still." Those bills, they're going to get paid. You don't know how, and I can't, I'm not going to sit up here and try to act like I'm a prophet. I'm going to prophesy to everybody. Your bills are going to be paid this way. Your life is going to change this way. You're going to find a mate this way. You're going to do this that way. No, no, no. I don't know how God is going to do it, but I know he is going to do it. If we take the moment to realize that in the midst of my storm, there is someone who is in my ship. The disciples had the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What says in the Bible was the word was in their boat. And the last person they went to was the Creator. And I hope that tonight, in whatever storm, whatever situation in your life, that my mistakes and my shortcomings of getting too worried and trying to do things my way and trying to help the Lord helps you to realize that you don't have to run that course. That you can stop and say, "Wait, I have a promise of God." In whatever stage of life you're in, young kids, teenagers, middle-aged teenagers, I don't know, young adults, and then you have regular adults, and then older people, whatever stage of life we're in, whatever storms may be happening in our lives, if you are bought by the blood of the Lamb, all we really have to do is realize that he's in my boat. He's in my ship. So let's take a quick look. Jesus in the boat. The disciples are playing slip and slide. And Jesus is just relaxing like nothing's happening. Do you really believe that that boat was really going to sink? Could the Son of Man sink when that's not what God had for him? Could the disciples sink when their job that God had for them was not finished? Could it? Was it possible, based on who we know Christ to be, that these disciples were really going to die? It's impossible. Because the one that they had in their ship will soon defeat death. Now, there's a character in the Bible that I love, and I can't wait. After spending an eternity at the feet of Jesus, kissing his feet, I'm going to be talking to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. That's my favorite character of all scripture. And the Bible says that he waited a long time for the promise of a seed. And after a while, enjoying this child, enjoying this boy, enjoying a son, God says, "Sacrifice him." I know growing up, I seen a whole lot of different depictions of what that was like. But when I read scripture, I know for sure that Abraham looked at his storm and Abraham says, I'm going to trust God because if he gave it, he can take it away. And I know he will give it back because he promised me that I will have this son. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he spoke like that, but the Bible says he acted like that. So Abraham's walk matched his talk. And that is why when he went to raise his hand, the Bible says he was told to stop. And so many times where our talk is writing checks our talk is writing checks that our walks can't cash. And that's a sad state of affairs for a believer in Christ. That I'm going to write a check with my mouth that my feet can't cash. So trust God because he is able. And he tells the storm, sit and be still. And then all of a sudden, he looks at his disciples with the same look. Trust me, I don't see him looking at these disciples in any other way with that same look. Because he knew who he was. He knew he was getting to the other side because he said it. And God cannot lie. What comes out of his mouth happens. Just look at the first, 5 days of creation. What he says happens, you know. And then all of a sudden, he looks at them with the same look. And he's like, what does it say here? It says, why are you so fearful? Why? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you do not have any faith? That is hard words to hear. Because they've seen some stuff. The disciples have seen some stuff. And in their reaction, they feared exceedingly. Wait a minute. I saw Jesus turn water into wine. I've seen Jesus do a couple of different things. I've seen this. I've seen that. And because he told the storm to be quiet, now I'm scared of this man? You see how we are? We've seen God work in our lives time and time again. But the storm was such a storm. This one was so bad. This one defied logic, resources, intellect, all of those things. So when he calms the storm, now I'm scared of him. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me. You hear those words. Let us go and pass over into the other side. He doesn't have to say it. I hear it in my mind. And all of a sudden, they're exceedingly fearful, and they say one to another, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They didn't get it fully, because they're still saying, man, when they should have been like, my God is real. Oh, yes, he's real. My God is real. That's my God. Jesus, he's in my boat. That's my God. And yet they said, what kind of man is this? What are we getting ourselves into? Who is this guy? So even after hearing, after seeing and experiencing, they're still like, who is this guy? What is he really all about? Duh, knucklehead. He just saved you. He's all about saving. He's all about restoring. He's all about making calm what sometimes we make ourselves into storms. When they should have been thankful and worshiping, they were perplexed. And this cycle happens over and over again with the disciples. This cycle happened over and over again with the people of Israel. And this cycle tends to happen over and over again with the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think that is why God says that he is perfecting us. And when we look at these storms and we realize that I need to learn something, that I got to trust God. Sometimes I got to stop because my resources ain't enough and I just got to trust God. And that may seem hard because, like Abraham, you're going to wait a little longer than you really want to. But the end result is, when you trust God, ain't nothing going to move you. Amen. And when God says, I'm going to the other side, and the storm is raging, you're sitting in that boat, taking off your sandals or your shoes, and you're just letting that water go through your feet. Because God says, I'm getting to the other side. I'm just going to trust him. And the reality is, you're sitting there and you're talking about God and saying, I'm going to trust God to get me through this. But then everything inside you is like, I better grab an oar. I better grab a bucket. I better do something. And God is like, just peace, be still and know that I am God. And he will, guys. Family, he will. God is able. God is able. And if we are honest with each other and we start thinking back on all the things that God has done from the beginning of our journey with the Lord until today, you can count your blessings one by one and know that God is able. So tonight, as we go into prayer and as we begin to let our petitions be known unto God, before we ask and pray for others, just realize that if you're in a storm right now, you are saved. And this is if you're not saved, I think today's the day that you should reconsider your position between you and the Lord. And for those that are saved, you should start, and you're in the midst of a storm, a trial, confusion, despair, brokenness, whatever it is, whatever storm may be raging, both externally, internally, out of your control, sometimes our problem is to begin to say, I need to reconsider my position when it comes to how I look, how I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can, and he will, because he is able. He is powerful enough to get up and say, peace, be still. But what I don't want is for each and every one of us to be asked the same question as the disciples. Why are you so fearful? Why are you such a chicken? Didn't I tell you? Can't you just believe in what I say? So tonight, whatever storm that you're going through, can't you just believe in what God says he will do for us and trust him? I hope this is a help. I hope that this is something that can help our perspective change in regards to the storms that we're dealing in life. Whatever the storm is, God is able. Listen, I shared this in the Keck Park. Totally came to me, so it was God, not me. And it was Brother Fetterman and Sister Sharon. We as humans have broken tools because we are sinful. And we have broken pieces. And we think that we can fix it and make it new. All we're doing is just making something else that is less looking broken, but it's still broken. Because all the resources, because of our sinful nature, are broken. So I can't fix this because all I know how to do is break it. Even if I make something, it's going to be broken because that's all I know how to do. Because we're sinners. But if we go to Christ and we let Christ be the one to begin to fix the situation, then it's going to look good. Because God ain't never made nothing broken. God ain't never created something that was broken. If you read Genesis chapter 1, after every day he said, and it was good. Because our God, he's a good God. So what kind of God do you believe in tonight? Do you believe in a God that you have to run after every time, you can't do it on your own? Or do you believe in a God who already knows, is in control, and allows all things to happen in our lives for our good and for our benefit? So are we growing in Christ because of the storms, or are we complaining and acting like little kids? I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of complaining. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of letting these storms weigh me down. I'm going to trust God. And as I pray, I'm going to ask the Lord to keep me trusting in him, because I can't do it on my own. Family, you can't do it on your own. I know you guys are really great, super saint Christians, but you can't do it on your own. It has to be in Christ. I am hid in Christ before God, the Bible says. And if I'm not in him, then I'm in trouble. And if you're not in him, you're in trouble. And if he's not in you, then you're in extreme trouble. In extreme trouble. So I hope message has been of a help. I hope it's opened your eyes as it has mine to realize that he's in the stern. And even though he might not respond as quickly as I want to, I shouldn't be worrying about that because he's in my boat. So whatever storm you're in, if he's in your boat, don't worry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's in the Bible too.